Thank you for your help as I'm learning the new things here and learning your new schedule. It's funny because my first line is to say that my last few weeks have felt more like a homecoming than I ever expected. But there's a piece of that some things are new. And yet, even within that newness, it's felt more like home than I expected in these last several weeks. I've enjoyed reconnecting with some friends that I haven't seen for 10 years or more, as well as driving on roads that I hadn't driven on for 10 years or more. And it reminds me of what my life was like then, and how far I've come. The longing that I had for a husband and a family, that has been realized. You are even hearing the proof. My longing to travel to Europe and physically encounter the history and sit in cafes and see some amazing artwork in its original form, all of those dreams came true when I was ministering in the Czech Republic. And so driving these streets once more, I am reminded of the days when I didn't know where my life was headed. And I'm filled with gratitude for the good in my life as I can look back and see where God's hand was at work. Sometimes we have to return home to find the home that we carry with us no matter where we are. This strange feeling of home is filled with nostalgia. Everywhere we look, there's nostalgia right now. And Frederick Buechner, he describes nostalgia as a sort of longing. And he says the word longing comes from the same root as the word long in the sense of length in either time or space. And also the word belong, so that in its full richness, too long suggests to yearn for a long time for something that is a long way off and something that we feel we belong to. And that belongs to us. The longing for home is so universal a form of longing that there is even a special word for it, which is, of course, homesickness. And he describes that form of homesickness is known as nostalgia, or longing for the past as home. Many of our Christmas traditions are based around nostalgia, and that nostalgia has the capability to do more than just remind us of a better time or a perfect Christmas. But it has the power to connect us with those memories and remind us of our resiliency and of God's desire to work in our life to bring about life for others. Matthew and Luke begin their good news about Jesus by talking about the earthly birth of Jesus. Mark doesn't seem to think it matters. And John goes towards the metaphysical existence of Jesus before he was called Jesus. But John still doesn't mention an earthly birth by saying where or when or by whom. He simply accentuates that the love of God was made into flesh and lived among us. Most of the facts laid out by Matthew and Luke line up pretty nicely, and much of their stories seem to fill in the gaps so that whether you read them separately or together, you end up with one beautiful nativity. Although Matthew leaves out the angel appearances before Zechariah, Mary, and the shepherds, he gives two striking angel appearances in the dreams of Joseph and then later for the wise men. By making Joseph, the father of Jesus, a dreamer and dream interpreter, Matthew was connecting him with Joseph of the children of Israel, the brother of Judah, the advisor of Pharaoh. Do you remember his story from Sunday school or maybe from vacation Bible school when you were a child? How that Joseph was bullied by his brothers because of his dreams, and he was eventually sold into slavery by them as they faked his death. Joseph's story is so fascinating to me because he could have given up and turned bitter and vengeful at any point of his story. But he continues to look for alternative ways to respond, and God works for the good of the whole people of Israel as Joseph continues to make decisions towards new life and community. When Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, first discovers Mary's pregnancy, he makes a shocking decision. Now, to us, it seems like just the Christian thing to do, to forgive Mary and let her go peacefully. But the righteous thing, the Jewish law, as recorded in Deuteronomy, held that if a woman who was pledged to marry is found not to be a virgin, then she is to be stoned to death. It doesn't matter even if she's pregnant or not. So this righteous, upstanding son of the house of David had every right to release her. And instead, he chose to have compassion on her and to release her from their agreement. Then after his dream, he does an even more remarkable thing, and he takes her into his own care as his own wife, the one who will one day mother many of his children, and he commits to watch over this one as his own. In our modern culture, he is painted as the most obedient of men, calm and direct. But he makes radical choices in light of what society at his time would have expected of him. He must have felt betrayed and confused, and yet he acted with ultimate compassion. And he was able to do that because his heart was prepared to see God's opportunities to speak love. And the first response he even had was not discipline or retribution, but grace and forgiveness. And the second response wasn't a teaching of right and wrong, but a hand reaching out in reconciliation and hope for a brighter tomorrow. I wonder, how might God be calling you to soften your heart towards a brother or sister in need of God's love? In need of a new beginning, in need of a helping hand, in need of a light in the darkness. How might God break open our hearts to see the world in a radically new way this Christmas? The choice before us is not between a right and wrong way. The choice before us is simply to see we have a choice before us. Trauma, grief, depression, and tragedy leave us feeling like there is no way forward, or sometimes only one way forward. But the stories of Joseph, who saved Israel, and the Joseph who cared for Mary and then raised the one who would save the whole earth, These stories remind us that God will always provide another way, that God can and will use our circumstances for the transformation of the world. And most importantly, that reconciliation is possible. And Buchner speaks about how all of this is possible because of the presence of Christ. And how when Christ comes into this world, Christ wants to fill those gaps, that longing that we have always had, by giving us this feeling of home. And he says, I believe that it is when that power, that feeling of home from Christ is alive in me and through me, that I come closest to being truly home, come closest to finding or being found by that holiness that I may have glimpsed in the charity and justice and order and peace of other homes I have known, but that in its fullness was always missing. He says, I cannot claim that I have found the home I long for every day of my life, not by a long shot, but I believe that in my heart I have found and have maybe always known the way that leads to it. So may we all see another path before us, a path that leads towards reconciliation, a path that draws us closer to Christ, already at home in our hearts. Amen. As we come to